Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Check podcast, service industry stuff. We're just going to talk about everything service industry later than whatever else we feel like talking about. So please, if you haven't yet, go to Amazon Prime and watch Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, where I go find worker-owned restaurants, hang out with them, find out about their lives, and of course, cook up and try some of the best dishes they have to offer. Today, I'm hanging out with a wonderful human being, bartender, and future senator, Mr. Joe Harris.
Thank you, Rashawn. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here, buddy. Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you, too.
Yeah, how was your day?
Relatively light. I did some laundry, made some food, and just relaxed. It's my last day before I start my work week.
Touche. Way to get shit done, man.
Nah, you know, I gotta stay busy, because if I don't, nobody else will. Because it's just me, and the cats don't have thumbs.
Funny fact, today is actually, we're recording on Inauguration Day, and there's our president's name is Joe, and our vice president's last name is Harris, and we have Joe Harris.
I'm right here, right now, existing.
Yeah, crazy. I don't know, coincidence?
There's also Joe Harris that plays for the Knicks, I believe.
Possibly future president.
Maybe.
I mean,
who knows?
That would also be a funny coincidence. That, yeah. You're not part like Asian or anything, are you?
No, not at all. Not according to 23andMe.
Damn it. Well, so much for that.
British, Irish, French.
So a fun thing that me and Joe like to do on the side when we have extra money is we've decided that old rich people stay rich and got rich because they invested in the stock market. So how are yours doing?
I'm using Robinhood and Coinbase right now, actually, and I'm up right now almost 48-49%, which is unreal. It doesn't make sense. The stock market seems like a joke. It only goes up. It never goes down.
It goes down sometimes. It has to go down in order to go back up. But we haven't experienced like a major like crazy crash with our money in there, which is bound to happen if we leave it there long enough.
You're right about that, you know, because when the stock market crashed in 2008, I was in high school. So yeah. When I got my driver's license, that's immediately when gas shot up to $5 a gallon.
Oh, damn.
So I my family couldn't afford to have me drive just because, you know, gas was $5 a gallon.
When I got my driver's license, that would have been 94? 95? Gas went down to fucking under a dollar a gallon. It was like 97 cents a gallon.
Yeah, I wish.
90. Cigarettes were still, I think, like $4 a pack. And
really? They've always been that expensive?
That was $4. When I was a kid, they were like $2 a pack.
I know they
like
always...
when you could walk to the store and buy cigarettes with a note from your parents, they were like, it was like $2. They're like, give me 10, and they give you a 10.
Now you gotta be 21. I forget it. You don't remember? For cigarettes. You got to be 21 to buy tobacco products.
Whoa. So. Have I been under a rock? Are you serious?
Yeah. You've been under a rock. You can go get shot in Iraq, but you've been under a rock.
Hold on. If you're 18, you can't buy cigarettes anymore?
No, that's very true.
When did that happen? Or did I just...
That might have been 2020 or 2019.
Damn.
Big government. Who would have guessed?
18 to buy cigarettes?
No, it's 21 now.
Well, hot damn. Mm-hmm. I remember when the drinking age was 18. My cousin actually turned 18 the year that they switched it to 21, and he was so mad.
That would be bad, yeah. Timing's a son of a bitch. He wasn't grandfathered in.
On December 20th, 2019, the president signed legislation among the Federal Food and Drug Act to change the tobacco products from 18 to 21. Well, how about that? I guess I'm just old and wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, so you can join the military and all that stuff, but you can't buy... unless you're overseas. I think if you're overseas in the military, you can purchase that stuff. But it's crazy. Yeah.
I have no idea. Well, how about that?
Yeah. I think that was also when the vape flavors got changed.
Yeah, I guess I do see the vape signs that say 21 and over. Yeah.
Yeah, because they, I think that's when they outlawed.
You shouldn't smoke anyway. It's terrible for you.
Yeah, cigarettes are definitely a bad choice. If you feel like you need a cigarette, put $5 into Robin Hood and gamble it away there instead of gambling on your health.
I smoked for 25 years. And a Juul is the only reason I have a Juul is because I smoked for 25 years and I just, you know, service industry and film industry and coffee and, you know.
See, geez. I've avoided the coffee addiction as well.
You don't drink coffee, do you?
No, never. I've had probably maybe 20 cups of coffee in my entire life.
Your whole life?
In my entire life. I'm a 30-year-old man, yes.
Maybe you just haven't had the right coffee.
I don't like anything.
Where did you have coffee at?
I've had
Waffle House?
Starbucks and...
I'm not a big Starbucks fan.
I mean, that's fair, but their stuff's mostly sugar, but...
It's super rich, too, so, like, having a Starbucks is, like, kind of drinking, like, motor fluid.
Yeah, see,
so
when...
So it's not good for, like, a beginner coffee drinker, probably.
But, yeah, no.
But you shouldn't get on it anyway. It's crack.
Yeah, just... Yeah, try not to...
It's every man's crack.
Try to avoid the caffeine, too, if I can help it, you know.
So don't drink Bart's root beer. It's the only one that's got bite.
I don't like root beer. No? Not a root beer guy either.
God damn, man. Not a root beer float?
No.
Oh, man. Okay, a chili dog, onion rings, and a root beer float in the summertime. Trust me.
I'd be content with a Coca-Cola from Georgia.
You can do a Coke float.
I'd rather have ice cream on the side.
All right, well, you do you, man.
I can't help it.
I don't know. It's like my mother's favorite thing was like root beer, going to the A&W root beer stands.
Yeah, that used to be a thing. That was on...
Now we have Sonic.
Like Happy Days. Oh, dude, Sonic's...
But now they don't even do that, so...
They don't do root beer floats at Sonic?
No, they don't come out like to the car and like...
Oh, yeah, COVID.
Yeah, COVID.
That's the thing.
But they were on roller skates for a little while, like Sonic.
For a long time. Sonic, dude, even the one here in town had the one in roller skates every now and then. I'd see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All four wheels, too. The occasional girl on the rollerblades, you know, just to...
It's a treat.
It's a bit different.
It's a treat.
It's a treat.
It's a business move, you know?
It is. So, funny story about you. You weren't always in the service industry.
No, not at all. I initially, when I moved down here to Savannah, I was working for Georgia Power, rebuilding the underground electrical system for downtown Savannah. Because it was catching fire and exploding previously. And then after that, I worked in dialysis.
What year was that?
So that work actually probably started in 2002, the mid-2000s, early 2000s. And, you know, because the original electrical system underneath Savannah was built by Thomas Edison. The actual Thomas Edison.
We're learning facts here, people. History facts.
So it was designed by Thomas Edison, and, you know, we would do our best to take out parts without completely destroying it and turning off the power for the people in the area and replace it.
Fun. So you got deep down in Savannah.
Yeah. Right by the bar I work at Treehouse, there's a manhole in City Market, and I built it. It's the bottom of it, 17 foot deep. I know for a fact I was down there.
Nice.
Yeah.
What else is down there?
Actually, people used to throw their old glass bottles down the toilets and flush them instead of throwing them in the trash. So
people like who people? Like what people?
Human beings. And,
glass bottles in their...
They didn't. People recycling and trash and how we handle it now hasn't been... It's a
I
modern
imagine the
thing.
Toilets had a wider gap back then.
They might not have had a pee trap in it either.
It might have just been like a tube that just went
straight down
into
instead
the
of
sewer.
Having
the
Like, but no, I have a bunch of bottles. I have a bunch of bottles from the 1800s at my parents' house.
Man, learning things.
Yeah, it's crazy because it slows everything down. It becomes, instead of a construction dig, it's like everybody's like, all right, nice and slow.
It's a treasure hunt.
Yeah, it's a treasure hunt. It's an archaeological
Or you're going to lose a finger and die of syphilis.
Nah.
They had a lot of syphilis back then. Maybe it stayed on the jar. I don't know.
Who knows how long things live underground?
I don't live underground.
You were under a rock about the...
I was dead. Okay, touche. Definitely under a rock about the 2018 thing on cigarettes. 2019, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Not, well, I mean, like, December. So it was really...
2 years ago.
No, a year and, like, 2 months.
A year and 2 months, you're right, yeah.
So not that long ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So you you installed some electricity and fixed Edison's work under the
streets of Savannah. Yeah, it was interesting. I was unionized and had a lot of benefits because of that. And then so the pay was good and I was able to take care of myself and learn a lot of skills. And I got my CDL so I can drive big trucks. I learned how to operate machinery, construction skills. It's really
cool. Wasn't good enough for you.
No, I fell in love with Savannah. I decided I didn't want to leave Savannah. I could, you know, keep making the money and move up to Atlanta. And
oh, so like the construction company was like moving around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They were based, they're based in Chattanooga, but most of the work was in the Atlanta area. And they only sent people down to Savannah. So I was working out of town technically. And
gotcha.
When they decided to go back at the end of 20, it was funny. The last day of the job was December 12th. 2012 or the 20th of December, whatever the apocalypse was.
The day
was.
Of the apocalypse.
Yeah, it was whatever day the apocalypse was.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
The end of the Mayan calendar, really. Yeah, yeah. Just the beginning of a new cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was it was weird. It timed out really, really boom, boom right there. So.
And you shifted gears into?
I actually took an entire year off. Oh. I didn't work in 2013 at all, actually.
Good for you.
Yeah, I saved up some money, and unemployment was a thing, and I tried to live underneath my means for a little bit, and I trained Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu twice a day for an entire year, essentially.
So your 2013 was basically like your 2020 sans Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was nice. I never having anything to do except for just go to the gym and play around. It was fun.
Cool. So then you ran out of money.
That's exactly what happened is I ran out of money. That's what happens when one doesn't work. And I got a job in dialysis through a good friend in the...
That is a very strange hop. Like,
it was a very strange hop because, you know, I was working in construction with men and, you know... Some of them ex-convicts who've done jail time and stuff like that. And now I'm going into dialysis and working in healthcare with a lot of women. In
a very sterile environment.
In a very sterile, clean-ish environment. You know what I'm saying? It's.
I mean, there's a lot of poop around, I'm sure.
No, no poop.
No poop?
No poop.
Dialysis?
No.
You know, like bags of just like grossness around?
No, no, no. No. Dialysis is cleaning up the blood because the kidneys don't work. So... If anybody had any poop on them, we just sent them home because that's not what we did at our facility.
You're in the wrong place,
man. Yeah.
The Y's are down the street.
Yeah, no, that was a big jump for me. It was, you know, having to not going from a job where I didn't have to talk to anybody except for my coworkers to, you know, working in dialysis where I have to communicate with my patients, my boss, always in training.
So do you have to have training to be in dialysis or like?
Yes, you do actually. You get,
do they train you or like?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you do, I think it's like a 2 or 3 month, like in class, it starts in class and then they kind of transition you out to the floor. And then once you're out on the floor, you're working underneath somebody. And then
do you have to stick people?
Oh yeah, I've put thousands and thousands and thousands of needles in people.
Oh, nice. So you basically become like a nurse.
Almost.
Without having to go to nursing school?
No, I have a lot of nursing skills. You pick up a lot of stuff working. But I actually had a certification that was a CCHT. It's a Certified Clinical Hemodialysis Technician.
Okay.
It doesn't pay enough.
Can you say that one more time?
A certified clinical hemodialysis technician.
A certified clinical hemodialysis technician.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, say that 6 times fast.
No.
No.
But, yeah.
Not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker. It's not a mulling plucking pheasant, so the pheasant plucker comes.
Interesting.
Dialysis.
I haven't heard that one. Yeah.
That's what happens when you fuck that one up.
Well, you know, there's people in place, you know, we call EMS, they handle things, but, we have a crash cart of ourselves that we, you know, rarely had to use. We were pretty lucky that, you know, we didn't have too many on the floor emergencies, and most of the things that happened were patients on their own outside of our facility.
Yeah, because I mean, you scheduled. You come in and get your dialysis. This is basically your kidneys doing the machine doing the work of the kidneys, and you go home.
And you're there for the time you're prescribed, and then you know,
it's like chemo for kidney problems.
But well, I mean, yeah, it's not fun. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Yeah, it's you know, your kidneys, your and I kidneys are, you know, allegedly working 100% 24/7.
Theoretically, they're working hard right now.
Well, it has nothing to do with alcohol. The alcohol goes to your liver, and that's where it gets filtered out. Your kidneys actually clean your blood.
Oh.
So it's a different system entirely.
Huh. So when your back hurts from drinking too much, that's your...
You're dehydrated.
You're dehydrated. Which causes your kidneys to hurt.
Well, then that's what a hangover is, too. A hangover is basically you're dehydrated as well because, you know, alcohol keeps your body
But the dehydration causes your liver to hurt because you drank too much, but your kidneys to hurt because you're dehydrated.
Because you're dehydrated.
Haha.
That's why you drink.
Do you hear that, kids? That's why you need to drink one glass of water with every drink.
Eh, alcohol's overrated.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, not much of a drinker myself.
But. Well, you're currently drinking Jordan's beer, which is Ultra, which somebody told me a funny joke the other day, and it's better in an English accent. So, why is drinking a Michelob Ultra like having sex in a boat?
I don't know.
Because it's fucking near water.
Yeah.
See, better with an English accent, am I right?
Yeah, no. It's definitely not the beer of choice for me. I'm a sours guy. I like my sour beers.
Well, that's the golden, so.
It's not bad. It's not bad. But I like my sour beers. And I'm not too big into the hops.
I can't do the sour beers.
They have the fruit with them. I like the fruity taste.
I like the fruity thing, but it's just too sour.
Some of it depends on which ones you've had. I mean...
I've had multiple sours. I try them.
Really? They're not for everybody.
I just can't. I don't like that, and I don't like mead. Like, I don't like sours.
You don't like mead?
Oh, I hate mead.
Have you done the mead tasting in town?
I've tasted hundreds of meads. I have friends who make mead. I've been to meaderies. It's like drinking syrup. It's just so sweet and overwhelming. Like, I don't know how...
Some of it is, yeah. Some of it definitely.
Like, all these Nordic people are just like, mead.
I mean, come on now.
A stein of mead? That's like drinking like a gallon of honey.
It takes a lot of honey to make mead, too. You're right.
Yeah, it is overwhelming shit. I mean, it's good, like a sip or two.
It's a good dessert drink, too.
Yeah, like, I'm not trying to get drunk on mead.
Unless I'm going to a themed party. If it's a Viking-themed party, then I'm going to get drunk on
mead. If you forget your insulin, you're screwed.
Well, luckily, I don't need insulin. I'm not type 1 or type 2.
I mean, I don't either, but I'm just saying it's that sweet. But, no sours neither, no.
Really?
I like a wheat. I like a fruity wheat.
I've fallen in love with Crown Apple here recently.
You know, it is...
The sweet stuff works for me.
I do like Crown Apple. I'm an American honey person too, though.
I like American honey. Yeah.
If I'm going to drink liquor,
talking about not liking mead, but liking.
Because I'm just going to sip on a tiny bit of it. I'm not going to like drink a glass of.
Yeah, it's Logan has a good drink with a little black raspberry liqueur and some lemonade and.
Oh yeah, I've had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
That's the good stuff.
He likes to go for a sugary like dessert drink too. He likes to mix like all the, when we have chocolate sauce and mix the chocolate sauce with basically a white Russian, but with all the like white
liquors.
So like,
I made it
Bailey's plus rum chata plus.
I made an incredible white Russian the other day. Vodka, coffee liqueur, splash of amaretto. A little bit of whipped cream sprayed
in. Amaretto gives it a Christmassy vibe.
Yeah, the little bit of whipped cream, then the heavy cream, shake it up. It tastes like the Waffle Crunch cereal. It's unreal.
Oh, yeah, Waffle Crunch.
Oh, my God, unreal.
Very rare and not widely known cereal.
But if you've had it, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you know that flavor.
If you want one, you can go to Treehouse and ask for Joe Harris, and he will make you a drink or a shot that tastes exactly... like Waffle Crunch.
I was thinking about putting some rum chata in it too.
I bet if you added blueberry vodka, it'd be blueberry. It'd be blueberry crunch.
I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. That's the move. That's the move. I'm gonna
sprinkle a little variety.
Depending on what time we get out of here,
I'm gonna run up to work and see how that works out for me.
Yeah, no reason not to. That's actually one of the best parts about working there, in a bar. Period. You know, after dialysis,
getting to experiment.
Well, no, just it's a community. You know, in all my years of being an adult, even in high school and everything, the most important thing was always having a community, like of people you can go back to and you can say, hey, and here's how this is, and like you can talk about things similarly, you can disagree, you can hang out, you can, you know, and then you go your separate ways, but you're still, you know, you have the common bond. And like having that common bond with a bunch of people just feels good.
You mean the employees and the customers, or
both?
Just your coworkers?
Both. Ooh. I mean, I definitely have, you know, customers that I have, you know, friendships with, but I, you know, with my coworkers, it's totally entirely different. You know, we've been working together, especially at our bar.
Well, at a place where there's like the same people have been working there for 7 years.
You know, I have a friend who is a PA, and she's a physician's assistant, and you know, even at her job, they don't keep people. They have worse turnover rates than we do. You know, they have people coming and going all the time. I've been working with the same guys for 3.5 years minimum. Some of them for as long as I've been working there.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we've seen some shit together.
It's a rare occasion, but a good occasion. It does happen more often than people think, where one place will literally hold the same employees for a decade. Like maybe one person will come and go, but for the most part, there will be that.
There's like the center mass.
Yeah,
in
small places, it will hold, and in other places, you just turn over like candy. You know, every 3 months. Ruth Chris, I'm pretty sure, fires their employees every 3 months, including their managers and everyone else.
Belford's goes through a lot of people too.
Yeah, but they're not doing it like as a routine.
No,
you know, like a corporate routine. They're doing it just because like they just hired. They're just not smart about it. They don't always, you know, they just, oh, you want a job? Cool. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that was a bad idea.
Sometimes that happens. But you know, and you know, having relationships with the customer is nice, but we're an out of town touristy attraction. You know, we're not a downtown Savannah staple necessarily for everybody.
No, it's an experience.
It's an experience. Exactly.
Exactly. Not serving drinks, Joe. Serving an experience.
Yeah. It's a good time. It's a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun.
You know, we didn't cross the bridge of how you went from dialysis into being a bartender.
I'm very lucky.
And then ruler of the world.
Ruler of the world. One step at a time. So when I was working in dialysis and also training jiu-jitsu, I got laid off from the construction job before I got the dialysis job. I needed a place to stay, and the owner of my gym was a close friend of mine as well, and a close friend of yours, Mr. Matthew Hester.
Mr. Matthew Hester.
What a excellent, excellent gentleman. He's a stand-up human being.
He's a badass.
And his
roommate. I once saw him literally leap across the bar like a gazelle into a crowd of people just to like grab this guy to stop this fight. Like from like slow motion Matrix shit, just from like from far away too. Like just flew.
I know. He's a special human being for sure. And so
he saves lives though.
He is a nurse, and him and the other owner of the gym, Arash Karamandi, were kind enough. Another stand-up human being. He works in town. He remodels houses now, I do believe. And they gave me a place to stay, and they let me stay with them for a few years. And I was training at the gym with them all the time. And Matt was working at the bar, And I'd worked at a different bar in town, and I'd had a bad experience, and I decided...
I didn't know that. What bar? You don't have to say, but you what?
Yeah.
You've literally never told me that.
Really? Yeah, no. So I worked New Year's Eve many years ago before I worked at Treehouse at the door of a different...
Maybe you did tell me that. You weren't behind the bar. You were at the door.
I was at the door. And I, you know, I had the owner of the bar made, or the manager or whatever, made me buy an outfit. Just, you know, I had to buy a button down and black pants to go to work. And then by the time I got paid, I didn't even make enough to, you
know, pay for the shirt,
to pay for the shirt, the pants, and the Waffle House after the thing. You know, I was like, well, I just lost money. How did this happen? You know, and I decided at that point I was never going to work at a bar again. I was like, this is horse shit. You know, I'm not going to get robbed like this. This is stupid. And
but then Matt was like, no, I made this month money.
Matt didn't ever tell me how much money he made. Never. But
No, he couldn't have.
He couldn't have. but he was also...
you were a bar back forever.
Forever. Yeah. Long, yeah.
Forever. Like, fucking ever.
Well, it was like a year and 3 months, a year and a half, something like that.
No, it was only 2 years.
Whatever it was. It was a long time. Yeah, I got it.
And also, I think you're going to like 4.5 years, not 3.5 years.
Hmm? I started at...
It's 2021.
I started working at Treehouse. I worked at... So I took off the year of 2013. I started in dialysis and I worked 2.5 years. So I worked till
2015.
2015 to 2021. So
yeah, 5.5 years, bud. That's way longer. So two of those years was barbacking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a fucking long ass time.
That's a long time to get other people promoted over you and all that stuff. But that's politics. That's specific bar politics. It's ridiculous, but.
Yeah, I was right there with you. Right there with you.
But anyway, yeah. So, but I was staying with Matt Hester and Arash. And, Matt was like, well, come work at the bar. And then eventually I started working at the bar and I was making a lot more money at the bar than I was at the dialysis clinic. And the thing about the dialysis clinic was, even though I was working at night and both jobs, you know, at the bar and at the clinic, I was taking home like almost, I was making, you know, 133% of what I was making in a week at the clinic and two nights at the bar. And I, you know,
I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe the service industry is really where it's at.
Yeah, and
maybe I just bought the wrong shirt.
That's what happened. And then I'm thankful for the job. You know, it helped me pay my bills. And you know, I worked with Matt and a lot of great people. And I had a great guy that I really looked up to. Got me the job at the dialysis clinic too, because they weren't going to hire me. You know, like, what do we want with this construction worker? You know, that's all the experience I had. So like, it's.
He got you that job, and then the...
Matt didn't give me the job at the dialysis clinic. His name was Jason. Jason got me the job at the dialysis clinic. He was another training partner.
But then you met Matt, became roommates, and then so on.
And then I moved in with him, and then he got me a job at Treehouse, and I went back to the dialysis clinic. I was like, do you guys realize I'm doing you a favor being here and being stressed out about this place and caring? Like... You realize you don't pay me enough for this. So, like, do you want me here or nah?
I can't imagine what my life would have been like had I not had parents who, like, said that the service industry was, like, an okay thing for even, like, a guy to do, right? Like, so when I was younger, like, you know, waitresses, like.
Yeah.
But my dad had worked in Vegas and shit, right? So, like, he would tell me stories about how he, like, waited on fucking, like, people and held the door for Elvis and like
and,
you know
and made like, probably oh. a bunch, of, a bunch money. Of money yeah.
Yeah, so he was in construction my whole life when I was a kid,
and construction's good money too. It's just when you're selling your body for money in a labor form like that, you can only do it for so long.
Yeah. But
and,
like,
and it's tough.
You it's hit or miss, I suppose, and it really depends on where you work
and what
and
you
what
do.
City you live in, you know,
location.
Right, but overall, you're going to average way more than a $15 an hour even job.
Well, I mean, what's crazy is when I was working in dialysis at night, that's essentially what I was making was $15 an hour and getting taxed at that rate. And I mean, not even my car payment, my rent and my utilities and everything was basically, it was like 66, 70% of my income when I was working for $15 an hour. Yeah. And I'm like, how do
it's $31,000 a year.
How do people survive?
$31,000's pretty good. I mean, like,
no, it's not.
I mean, it allows you to do, like, okay, so Jordan makes $31,000. So that allows her this house, right?
Yes, but I don't think it's enough.
So it's not enough, but it's the very line of where you can almost be, it's the bottom of middle class. It's like the bottom, like anything below $31,000 should fall into poverty, but that's where they draw the line, right?
Yeah.
Financially, that's where it sits right now, anyway.
Yeah, because what is that? Almost, is that $550 a week or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Oh, man. I remember $4.15 an hour, my first job, minimum wage, chopping vegetables in the back of a Chinese restaurant in a mall. For $4.15.
Yeah, but that was also in like 1916, so... That was it before was like the Great Depression.
It was like 93, 94. I was 15.
That's so crazy. You were 15 in 93. I was born in 90. So,
yeah, I turned 21 in 2000.
Really nice thing about being born in 90 is figuring out how old I am is generally what year is it? Plus 10, minus 1, depending on the month. You know.
Eventually, you get old enough, you don't even care that people can't drink alcohol until they're 35. And you just miss that entire news.
Yeah, right.
All together. And you're like, what do you mean people can't? You can't drink if you're 25? You have to be 35? Like, I forgot when they even changed it to 25.
They need to bring it down to 18. Or 16, even.
I mean,
or just get rid of it.
There was somebody the other day who was telling me that where they were from, there is no drinking age. And I can't remember where he was from. He's like, no, I was like, well, how old do you have to be? And he's like, no, you can be any age. Anybody can drink. He's like,
if you can walk up to the bar and put money on it, they'll give you whatever you order.
Yeah, but there aren't a lot. There's not like a lot of bar people. Like, you know, you have a glass of wine here and there. But like,
And also in other countries too, they you know, this isn't anecdotal even. I've just heard this. But like, they treat alcohol differently than we do. You know, they'll drink it with a meal just like it's Coca-Cola. And not think about getting drunk and not even have any thoughts about the alcohol at all. You know, it's more of a...
It's my heart healthy grape juice, man. Get off it.
See, I'm not a wine guy either.
It's heart healthy. I feel like... So, it's kind of like ordering the Burrito Supreme at Taco Bell as opposed to just like the beefy five-layer burrito. Because why? There's lettuce involved and tomatoes. So, you're like, it's healthy. So that's basically red wine compared to all other alcohol. Like, it's got a little bit of healthy factor, so I feel better about drinking it.
Yeah, I just... And you know, I wasn't raised around alcohol. There was never any booze in my home, ever. Period.
My parents weren't drinkers. I mean, they would drink occasionally, like with friends, or like at like New Year's Eve and stuff, but mostly they just smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah, my mom smoked weed, and then my dad really never... He was always...
Dos Equis. My dad was a Dos Equis guy. He always liked a Dos Equis every once in a while. My mom liked tequila. Very Mexican of them. I have no idea. Jim and Cindy Parker. tequila and Dos Equis.
The only thing I can ever remember ever being at the house was not even a 1 liter bottle of Wild Turkey.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I remember in high school, our jam was getting a fucking gallon of Jim Beam every Friday night.
Ugh.
And just... blacking out, like, oh, and I couldn't even, man, the smell of Jim Beam for years afterwards would just make me nauseous and so bad.
Yeah, everybody has their one thing that, like, Jack Daniels would get me like that every now and then. When I was in college, that one hot semester after high school, before I got the construction job, I was drinking a lot of Jack Daniels, and me and Jack didn't get along. That's why I got out of college, you know?
It's not like pizza, you know. You can't just eat it your entire life and still like it.
I'd argue you can. I love pizza.
Yeah, I know you can eat pizza your entire life and never get sick of it.
Yeah.
But like everything else, if you do too much of it, like I go through cycles of like of certain foods that I keep in my house, right? So I don't always eat the same thing week by week. Mm-hmm. I'll eat something like for maybe like a week and a half or 2 weeks. I'm so into like, I want bagels and cream cheese for breakfast for like a week.
Yeah. And I know exactly what you mean.
And then for like a week, I'm like granola and yogurt. And then like, I'm like, oh, I peaches and oatmeal. I don't know.
I made some awesome meatball subs the other week. Wow. Yeah. Sauteed some onions and mushrooms, cut up some pepperoni, threw that in there in the sauce.
All in the air fryer, right?
No, I made the air fryer. I used the meatballs.
Meatballs in the air fryer.
Meatballs in the air fryer, and then I sauteed everything up. It was really nice.
You got a ninja. Man's got a ninja.
Man's got a ninja. Five and one.
5-1.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That and a deep freezer. I'm ready for the next shutdown. If there is one, I'm ready. I don't care.
I got toilet paper, a deep freezer, and a ninja 5-1. Fucking good to go.
It's exactly what I'm saying, actually. I have those things.
I mean, really... Everyone's like, I just cook everything in the Ninja now. I don't need anything else.
You know what? It's really
cooked. I threw my oven away.
No, I still use the oven, but I don't use the microwave anymore.
Fuck a microwave.
Well, I mean...
Well, the air fryer will heat up things, like... But you get liquids, though. You need the microwave for liquids.
You use the stove.
You can.
I still have a stove, yeah.
Right. But I'm saying, if you want to, like, heat up, like... your coffee real quick or
you know. Oh yeah, you can't throw that in the air fryer.
You can't throw that in the air fryer. No.
But also I don't drink.
That's all that the microwave's good for.
I don't like hot drinks.
See, the air fryer is taking the place of the toaster oven. You think?
It could. Yeah. I don't have a toaster oven, so I would use it as a toaster oven, but I definitely think that's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, the toaster oven can only do so much.
I mean, know? I'll be honest.
It toasts, make an oven. Pizza but can rolls. It fry? It can't fry.
Dude, I cooked a steak, a pork tenderloin, chicken breast, all in my air fryer. It's better than anything I've ever cooked
vegetables
on the stove.
In there with them?
No, I sauteed my vegetables on the stove.
Could you, though? Like,
I could,
would
absolutely.
You put them in later? You would do like meat for like half the time and the veggies in the second half of the time?
See, I like my veggies a little bit on the overcooked side.
Oh, you lose all the nutrients, man. You're like, fuck the nutrients, they're gone. It's all about texture for me.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. I didn't grow up eating a lot of vegetables, so I have to prepare them how I want them prepared. Otherwise, I'm not interested. So,
touché,
like,
sir.
I touché. I know they're good for me, and it's just like, how can I force more veggies and other things into my diet?
Oh yeah, that's why I hide all kind. I like when I make sloppy joes, I dice up carrots super fine. I dice up kale super fine, and I just hide it in my sloppy joes.
I did buy a bunch of
healthy sloppy joes. It's basically like ordering the burrito supreme at Taco Bell.
Yeah, no, I like to hide the vegetables in my food if I can. Just, you know, try to grow up a little bit if I can help it. And that's another thing that's great about the bar life, though, is you don't really have to grow up. You have to be responsible. You know, you're always going to have to be responsible. But, like, as far as growing up goes, it's...
It keeps you young.
that's a good way to put it.
No, because you can mature, still make the same amount of money, have as much fun, but not be a kid anymore. Not be a, you know...
Yeah.
You can own a house. You can...
That's,
you
know, the next step.
You can have a family. You can have
the things
that you can buy every video game you ever dreamed of.
Is a dude with two cats a family?
Yes.
So I'll accept it.
As long as they're the size of dogs.
One of them is. One of them's bigger than your dog.
Well, the other one's about same size.
She's not too big. She's on the medium side, but Fabio, he's a Maine Coon. He's on the large side, and he's starting to eat now. He wasn't eating as much before because he had the ear infection. And
you should teach him to be on collars.
Fabio's going to be on a collar. I got to get him groomed. He's greasy. He doesn't clean himself very often. So, you know, typical dude. And got to get him groomed. He has a bunch of dreadlocks. He did 466 days in kitty prison.
Hmm. Too many days in kitty prison.
He's got dreadlocks. He had an ear infection. He's got a tattoo.
Oh,
he's got a rough life. So I'm, you know, rehabilitating him, and then we'll he lets me pick him up. I can actually like pick him up and hold him on my shoulder, and he doesn't freak out. And like he does the whole cute little head bumps and stuff. And
so, he's becoming a cat. He's like, I'm comfortable and I am happy in my home and you're my dad.
Yeah, exactly. He's starting to figure out. It's like, okay, I can be comfortable here.
Nice.
For sure.
Hell yeah. Well, here's to you, cat dad.
Cheers, brother.
May they be in the White House one day.
Baby steps.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. And thank you to my guest, Joe Harris.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And stay tuned for the next time. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @BeyondTheCheck_, Facebook at @BeyondTheCheck, Twitter at @IndependentLasagnaProductions, and go watch season one of Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, now streaming on Amazon Prime. Cheers.
Cheers. Come see me at Treehouse.